Welcome to Beyond Blathers, the podcast where we dive deeper into the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm Olivia Bercier.
And I'm Sophia Osborne.
And if you want to support the show, please check out our merch store at etsy.com/shop/beyondblathers to see the stickers and sticker sheets we have for sale.
You can also join our Patreon to receive a monthly sticker and print in the mail from Olivia.
So this week, Sophia's going to be talking about pelicans.
Yeah, if you listened to our last episode, I was reporting live from California, where I'd gotten to see a lot of really cool animals, including brown pelicans. And it was really thrilling to see them in the wild, kind of flying in formation, diving. They're just really cool, prehistoric, exotic-looking birds, at least to me, living here in Western Canada. So I thought, why not do an episode on pelicans?
I love pelicans. Like, it's so funny because a lot of people think that you can only see pelicans when you're at the ocean. But, I mean, we have them here in Alberta. And very often, like, people who've lived here their whole lives will just see them and be, like, really shocked that they're here and think that they've, like, gotten lost or something. And so when you do finally notice them, they're just amazing to watch because they look so prehistoric. And I find the way they land on water really cool to watch. Like, you think they'd be really clumsy, but they never are.
I know. It's so funny because if you look at a distribution map of the American white pelican, which is what we have here in Canada, it just, like, perfectly skirts Vancouver, which is where I am. Like, it goes, like, you know, over the prairies, through parts of BC, and then it just, like, dips down, like, not going to Vancouver, and then it goes, like, through the western U.S. It's just really funny. I was like, I feel really personally attacked by pelicans.
Yeah, they're like the only Canadians that don't want to move to Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because I was telling my stepdad that we're doing pelicans today, and he was like, oh yeah, I remember seeing them in Saskatchewan, and that was definitely the most, like, exotic looking thing we had around there.
So funny. Oh, I wonder why that is. I wonder if it has to do with, like, the city itself, or if that's just something they've always done.
Yeah, I wonder too, or if it's just kind of too coastal here for them or something. But anyway, there also aren't any pelicans in Animal Crossing New Horizons. But if you've played previous iterations of Animal Crossing, you will probably be familiar with Pelly, Pete, and Phyllis, who are all pelicans who work at the post office. I really think it's so sad that they don't have a job in New Horizons. Like, they've been shut out of their work.
No, they're out of work. They're unemployed.
Yeah, because you can invite them to the roost via Amiibo, but they're not, like, working. And I just wonder how the mail is being delivered. I guess because it's an island, is it just implied that, like, it just comes in on the, like, float plane, and so they don't need the pelicans anymore? It's sad.
Maybe. Oh, they're without a purpose.
Yeah, but we're still going to talk about and celebrate them today.
Exactly.
So yeah, there are 8 living species of pelican, and they make up the genus Pelicanus. There's the American white pelican, which I just talked about, the brown pelican, which is what I saw in California, the Peruvian pelican, the great white pelican, the Australian pelican, the pink-backed pelican, the Dalmatian pelican, and the spot-billed pelican.
Huh, I didn't realize there were so many species.
I know, I feel like we just kind of say pelican. But yeah, there are different species. They do all look pretty similar. This isn't one of those genuses where things are very different and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that these were all species in the same genus. Like, I think you would see all of them and be like, yeah, that's a pelican.
Yeah, I'm looking at photos of them now, and, like, even the ones like spot-billed pelican and, like, the pink-backed pelican all look pretty darn similar. Like, they don't have huge color differences, with the exception of the Peruvian pelican, which is absolutely glorious and so pretty. It's got, like, a yellow head and this red on its bill.
I know, it's beautiful. Most of the species are just pale colored, except for the brown pelican, which is just, you know, brown. And as you said, the Peruvian pelican, which is so stunning. It's black with white highlights. I just feel like it looks like a black swan ballet dancer or something. Like, it just looks really elegant and beautiful.
Yeah. Wow. What a bird.
And I find it interesting, too. I'll talk about this later, but as you said, like, some species of pelican are more inland and some are coastal. And the two that are coastal are the brown pelican and the Peruvian pelican. So those are, like, the two darker colored pelicans, which is cool.
Yeah, that's interesting, like, that the majority of the species are not coastal.
I know. It totally goes against the stereotypes around pelicans, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, in general, pelicans are big water birds. They're characterized by their long beaks and, of course, the huge throat pouch that they use to scoop up prey, which I do think is definitely the most iconic thing about them. But I was actually reading that they have the longest beak of any bird.
Oh, I mean, when you say it, it seems obvious, but it never actually occurred to me. But yeah. Of course.
I feel like if you just look up, like, which bird has the longest beak, you usually see the sword-billed hummingbird because they have the largest beak relative to their body size. But the Australian pelican is the world record holder for just longest beak, period. The male has a bill up to almost 20 inches long, or about 50 centimeters, which is wild.
That sounds like it would hurt my neck. That's a very heavy thing.
I know. It's wild. And then they have this huge throat pouch under it, too. And we can talk about that for sure. But also in terms of taxonomy, this genus is most closely related to the shoebill, which is honestly one of the weirdest looking birds ever. If you haven't seen them, make sure to look them up. I feel like I think about them all the time. I don't know why.
I do too.
They're so wise looking and very, very weird, and they look like they should be in, like, Studio Ghibli movie. They just look odd.
Well, I was gonna say that, like, the shoebill looks like in The Boy and the Heron, when the heron, like, kind of starts to become, like, humanoid, that's what the shoebill looks like. It's this weird cross between birds. And I remember distinctly the first time I saw a photo of a shoebill, it was, like, in a library book. And I was mystified and terrified, and I've never forgotten it since.
Yeah, the humanoid heron in The Boy of the Heron is exactly what I was thinking of. Like, that's exactly what they look like. It just looks like if an old man was a bird. Anyway, yeah. Look them up. But they're also most closely related to the hammercop, which I'd never heard of, which looks really different to the pelicans and shoebill. They're a lot more, like, dainty looking. They have a long beak, but it's more of, like, a dainty beak. So, anyway, there was just some, like, people used to think they were, you know, related to other things. And then, you know, there's just all this movement around their cladogram. But apparently that's what it looks like, the shoebill and the hammercop. And pelicans are in the order Pelicaniformes, which also includes ibises, herons, spoonbills, and bitterns. And honestly, as an order, this is just a really great one. Spoonbills are also really, really strange. Like, their bills are spoon-shaped. It's exactly how it sounds. Just a very cool bird. Herons are also one of my personal favorites. And when I saw pelicans flying in California, I did think they looked so prehistoric, like herons do when they're flying. So I'm not surprised to hear that they're in the same order.
Yeah, totally. It's a very, like, catch-all group in terms of, like, body forms. I know when I'm teaching this order to my students, I have to be like, I know that the word is Pelicaniformes, but don't forget that the herons and ibises also go in the pelican group. It gets very confusing when you're trying to learn it. Kind of throws people off.
I know. Pelicans kind of just took over. They're like, this is about me.
Yeah, they are the main character. They are the lead singer of the Pelicaniformes. So how big do pelicans get overall? We've talked about their bill, but, like, their bodies are pretty big too.
Yeah, they are. They're actually one of the heaviest flying birds in the world. Only swans are heavier. The great white pelican can weigh up to 30 pounds or 13 kilograms. And I was surprised to find out that the brown pelican is actually the smallest of the eight species, weighing about 7 pounds. So I don't know. They just, because I feel like the brown pelicans, to me, they're kind of what I think of. I don't know if that's just like an American centric view, but they're that like marine pelican, but they're actually really small compared to the big pelican boys. Pelicans also have large wingspans, with the Dalmatian pelican coming in at almost 11 feet. That's close to being the world's largest wingspan, with the wandering albatross having a slightly larger span at 11.6 feet or 3.5 meters.
Maybe this is like weird, but like since the pandemic, anytime I see things measured in feet, I've been measuring things by like social distance amount. And so when I see like 11 feet, I'm like, wow, that's almost two social distancing distances apart. Like, I think it's just my little Canadian brain not understanding what a foot means.
Stay half a pelican away from everyone else.
Yeah. These are really huge birds, and like, we just hear about them so much. But where are they actually found? Apparently not in Vancouver, but where else?
Yeah, pelicans are found pretty much all over the world, not in Vancouver, as I said. But they sort of have this patchy distribution because each species has quite a distinct range. And they also aren't found in the poles or the open ocean. As I said, the only one that we have here in Canada is the American white pelican, which breeds in inland Canada and the United States and winters in the southern U.S., Mexico, and Central America. The brown pelican that I saw in California is coastal, like I said, and their range runs down to northern South America and the Galapagos. The aforementioned beautiful Peruvian pelican is found on the Pacific coast of South America. Of course, the Australian pelican can be found in Australia and New Zealand and the surrounding area. And the other species have patchy distributions throughout the Mediterranean, Africa, India, China, and Southern Asia.
Wow, that's really everywhere.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear that. Each species has a distinct area, but you can find them a lot of places. I always thought that they were more rare, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I think we need to talk about the pouch now. What's going on with the pouch?
Definitely. So the iconic throat pouch is technically called the Guler pouch and is made of stretchy, featherless skin that hangs from the lower jaw. They primarily eat fish, which they'll scoop up in this pouch, and then they drain out the excess water. While some people think that they store the fish to eat later, like squirrels hoarding nuts in their cheeks, that actually isn't the case. The pelicans eat the fish immediately. This is kind of unfortunate and sad. It's a sad dispelling of a rumor.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun idea. And like, really, it seems like a really, you know, all these other fish-eating birds are able to eat fish without a massive gular pouch. Well, not all of them, but some of them. Like, it seems like it's a weirdly inefficient way to get rid of water in, you know, just hearing about it. I'm sure in reality it's actually like very complex and whatever.
I know, like, why not also use it to store fish? Like, you might as well if you have it.
I guess, though, the fish are just, like, flopping around.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They'd be alive in there, just, like, in a bit of water.
It might be a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, this is even true when they're transporting food to their chicks. They swallow the prey first, and then they fly back to the nest to regurgitate the partially digested food for their young. So they're not even saving it in there for the young.
I guess the young, they need, like, Maybe they like the food all soft and gooey, like, yeah, baby food. Yeah,
they probably can't handle like a whole fish. That's fair.
Oh, lovely.
But the pouches can store up to 3 gallons or 11 liters of water, which is 2 to 3 times more than can be held in a pelican's stomach. So it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
And it's also highly vascularized, with tons of blood vessels running through it, which is really helpful for temperature regulation. Kind of like elephants flapping their big ears, by fluttering its pouch, a pelican can cool down its body temperature. And they do overheat, you know, because they're big animals.
Yeah, that's such a problem for big animals. Like, overheating is the number one thing they're trying to avoid.
Another cool thing is that the Guler pouch also has sensory nerves running through it, and this allows the pelicans to feel fish as they're hunting at night. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird to think about just having this huge thing and you can like feel what's happening in it. Yeah. So maybe that would be like, you wouldn't want to kind of keep fish in there. That would be very distracting.
I mean, I have a really gross pelican fact that makes this the fact that they have nerves in their pouch even worse.
Oh my gosh, do share.
They will sometimes get gular pouch lice. These little, actually, I don't even know what they are, but they're like, yeah, like pelican pouch lice. I'm Googling it now. I saw a photo of it once and it horrified me for the rest of my life. So now I share this information with you. Okay, so according to this random blog post, they are actually like feather lice and like pouch lice that go in there. So they are actually like lice. They're not something else.
Oh, that sounds really uncomfortable. I'm sorry to hear that. Oh,
I'm looking at so many horrible photos. Why did I do this?
Oh, no.
That's really gross, even for me. Okay, we're moving on. Don't Google it.
Okay. Just trust Olivia.
Just trust me. It's pretty gross. It's pretty much what you'd expect.
But in terms of feeding, the brown pelican does this really spectacular dive into the water from as high as 65 feet or 20 meters above the ocean surface. They get perfectly into position to line their beak up with the fish, and they can hit the water at up to 40 miles or 60 kilometers per hour.
Whoa.
Which is wild. I would not like to be that fish just having this like car speed pelican ramming into me.
That's literally a car. Wow. Terrifying.
Other species of pelican will swim in formation to herd the fish into shallower water or into the center of their circle where they can be waiting to scoop them up. It's really impressive cooperation. And while pelicans mostly eat fish, they have also been known to eat other things like amphibians, turtles, crustaceans, insects, birds, and even small mammals.
Wild. They just are out there eating everything. So can we talk about pelican breeding?
Yeah, so pelicans are monogamous, but only for one breeding season at a time.
So it's like their summer romance. And then they move on.
Yeah, exactly. They usually get together in large breeding colonies of hundreds or even sometimes thousands of pelicans. And some species will make stick nests in trees while others nest on the ground. During the breeding season, both males and females get these bright colors that develop on their faces and gular pouches. You might have also seen pictures of American white pelicans with horns on their bills. And that's something that this species develops during the breeding season as well. And they're also called knobs or epidermal plates. And they'll shed these horns after the season is done. Usually pelicans lay 2 to 3 eggs and both parents will care for the chicks. The young fledge 10 to 12 weeks after hatching and are considered mature after 3 or 4 years.
That's not a lot of eggs, but I guess that makes sense. They're really big.
Yeah.
So how are pelicans doing in the wild?
They're actually, like, not doing too bad, I guess. Okay. I expected to see at least some, like, endangered or threatened pelican species, but there aren't. The Peruvian pelican, Dalmatian pelican, and spot-billed pelican are all categorized as near threatened by the IUCN. So, not great, but could be worse,
I guess. Could be worse.
Things like hunting, overfishing, entanglements with fishing gear, habitat destruction, which is, you know, especially a thing in freshwater habitats, and climate change are all affecting pelicans as they are affecting many birds.
Yeah.
For the brown pelican, they're doing better now, but they've faced significant issues in the past. One being the pesticide DDT, which you've probably heard of, as it's the focus of Rachel Carson's famous book, Silent Spring. DDT caused the shells of brown pelicans and many other birds to become dangerously thin. So the pelicans would just sit on the egg and that would crush it. So sad. Luckily, you know, DDT was banned in most countries in the 1970s and 80s, and the brown pelican population rebounded since then. Brown pelicans were also affected by the Deep Horizon oil spill in 2010. I definitely remember the images of pelicans being cleaned, you know, with dish soap.
Yeah.
So they were kind of like a poster child for that oil spill. And they just in general are susceptible to oil spills. So yeah, brown pelicans have had kind of a rough time, but I'm glad that they're doing better and are no longer considered endangered in the U.S.
Yeah, that's definitely a concerning thing. The whole DDT, it can, I guess it's one of those stories where, like, once we figured it out, like, things were able to kind of spring back after it, which is good. But yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, it took us so long to figure out that it was causing so many problems.
Yeah, and just like the effect that it had on insects as well. You know, it was nice not having bed bugs for a while, but other than that.
Yeah, we've got some like really old stuff in our lab that's like definitely got like DDT like in it to keep out the dermestids. It's like ancient degraded DDT. So,
whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. These like really ancient insect boxes and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's the pelican. I think they're definitely iconic for a reason. And if you have any pelican species where you live, I'm very jealous of you. And I really think that the American white pelican should just expand its range a little bit to Vancouver.
I agree with you. We should just bring them over there. Just introduce them.
Introduce them, yeah.
It's what worth it.
What could go
wrong? It'll be good. I promise. Well, thanks so much, Sophia, and thanks everyone for listening. If you want to support the show, you can join our Patreon to get exclusive rewards, and you can check out our Etsy shop to see the stickers and postcards we have for sale.
And you can always follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
Tune in next time to learn more about the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. Bye!
Bye!